Hey mama, you're listening to the Supernatural Childbirth Mamas podcast. This is a place where we want to encourage you, edify you by bringing together moms who have experienced a supernatural childbirth. All of us got our journey on this started by reading a book called Supernatural Childbirth by Jackie Mize. It was a book written in the 1980s, but it is still impacting moms today. The fact that we are no longer under the curse of the law because of Jesus Christ, we're under the blessings of the law. So one of those curses was pain in childbirth, and we can be free from that. So us moms have come together. We've believed for that in our own births. We're bringing other moms in so you can hear those stories and hear those testimonies and be encouraged. That's why we're here. If you have a similar story, reach out to us. We would love to have you on the podcast. We also have a Facebook group. Be sure to search in groups for Supernatural Childbirth Mamas. We're there. It's a community of hundreds of women who are there to encourage each other, lift each other up, pray for each other. It's been amazing getting to know all of you. In the future, we're hoping to have more small group settings of either trainings in faith and trainings as for being a mom, or just group settings where we pray together. We're working towards that, and we're looking for leaders. If you have it in your heart to lead other women in this way, let us know. Reach out to us. If you search in the Facebook group, there's actually a form to fill out. So can't wait to dive into today's podcast.
Hello, Childbirth Mamas. This is Katie, and I'm so excited you are joining us today wherever you are at. Today, exciting story from Carrington, and she's going to be sharing about her first home birth, and it's just going to be really exciting, really encouraging. I'm so excited that she's here today. Hi, Carrington.
Hello, Katie. Thank you so much for having me. I am so, so excited to be sharing my supernatural childbirth story, my first childbirth. I was a first-time mom for this home birth experience that I'll be sharing. And Supernatural Childbirth Mamas was such a powerful resource for me. So I'm really honored and excited.
Yes, we're so excited for you to be able to join us today. Carrington, for the listeners, would you mind sharing us a little bit about your backstory and about your family?
Yeah, absolutely. So my daughter that I'll be talking about her birth today, she'll be 15 months this month, which is so crazy. And I'm actually currently expecting. I'm about 15 weeks along. So 15 and 15, which that's funny. Not planned at all. So my daughter is 15 months, and my husband and I, we actually got married a month and a half before we found out that we were pregnant. So we were dealing with newness of being married, but also newness with a child. And so we really just saw the Lord moving powerfully in our lives in 2022. She was born in December 2022. I think background on our family, I think that's really all of the main points. And I just really want to stress that Giselle's birth and my pregnancy experience really just strengthened my faith, but also strengthened my husband Nick and I's marriage for sure.
That's awesome. It's so good to hear. And it's always cool to hear like how like the Lord just like it just builds a relationship so much faster. Like as soon as kids
yes.
are next. Communication has to be there.
Has to, absolutely. Communication, but also grace and understanding. Grace from God, but also grace for each other.
Yes. And what a better way. Well, before we begin to hop on your story, I'm going to pray over all of us listeners and you, Carrington. Mm-hmm. Father, we just come today. I just thank you for this platform of Supernatural Childbirth Mamas. And I thank you for this opportunity to share the story that you've wrote in Carrington's life and her baby girl's life. And I just ask, Father, that all your glory will be shown through it. I ask that the words on her mouth will just be a lighthouse of your glory and your love for these listeners. We come to you and we just surrender all on our hearts today, all the stresses, all the fears, all everything in the background. We just want to pause and reflect on your goodness, Lord. We offer it to you, Father. You are such a good Father, And I thank you that you care about each and every one of us more than any of the flowers in the field growing now in the spring, more the birds. I just thank you that you love us. And I ask that you show yourself to each of our listeners today where they're at and let them feel so loved by you. And bless this podcast today. And thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
So to get to it, Carrington, would you like to share with us a little bit about the backstory? We know that you were shortly married for a time before you were expecting. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So spanning back a little bit further. So March 2022 is when my husband and I got married. And then April, actually on my birthday, so happy 25th to me, I found out I was expecting with Giselle. Not planned, like I mentioned before. We literally were married for about, I think, a month and 9 days. But in December of 2022, I actually got baptized. And for all of 2021, or excuse me, December of 2021, I was baptized. For the fall of 2021, the Lord was really putting on my heart preparation for marriage, but also preparation for a family. And that's actually when I came across Supernatural Childbirth Mamas and all of the resources and kind of understanding what are redemptive birth stories, what are, you know, what is a spirit field or a supernatural childbirth? Like, what is that? And that's also why when I determined that I was going to do a home birth, I picked out who my midwife would be and also my doula. And it felt really odd at the time. But fast forward to April of 2022, when I found that I was pregnant, and I truly feel that the Lord had been preparing me all throughout that time. So I definitely had, you know, that moment of panic when I went to take a pregnancy test. It was a normal Thursday afternoon. I worked from home, so I was working, and just all of the sudden felt very random, felt an urge to just go take a pregnancy test. Keep in mind, I'd never bought a pregnancy test before. One of my friends purchased it for me when we told them that we eloped in March. And so I was like, this is weird. Lo and behold, obviously was pregnant. No denying it after I went to the store and got a digital pregnancy test. And, you know, the first 2 hours, I definitely went from panic and some tears to just an overwhelming peace. I had called my sister and she prayed over me and I felt good. And so after that 2 hour mark, I called my husband and he came home and, you know, he went through his wave of emotions. But actually, about a week later, I was ready to tell my dad. I wanted Nick to tell his dad, because our moms at this time, our moms and sisters, they already knew that I was expecting and pregnant. So I was starting to get excited. And I said, okay, like, we've got to let our dads know, like, this is, you know, super exciting. And, you know, I could see that there was something wrong. And I said, you know, what is it? And he said, I don't think that we should tell our dads. And I was like, oh, this is weird. And I've never told anyone this, but really just feel led. And I obviously spoke to my husband prior to this, and he knows that I'll be sharing this. But he looked at me and he said, I don't think keeping the baby is what's best for us. And so at this point, as I'm sure you can imagine, it felt like in a movie when like a flashbang goes off and you can't really hear anything. It sounds really muffled. Mm-hmm. So I think he's trying to explain himself, explain what he means, because that can mean several different things, you know. And I just felt tears filling in my eyes. And I just went to the bathroom. I got in the shower for about 30, 45 minutes. I don't even remember. The water got cold. That's how long I was in the shower, if that gives any indicator. And I just, I cried and I prayed to God. And I was like, oh my gosh, God, like, please, please forgive him. Like, I'm not sure what he's talking about, God, but I also know, God, that, you know, we are one now. Mm-hmm. We're married. I'm grateful. He's scared. You know, I feel all of these waves of emotions, and I just feel God saying, lean on to me, lean into me. That's what it's going to take. You have to lean into me. And it just taught me a lesson that would really lay the foundation for the rest of pregnancy, but also strengthen my marriage. There are times, you know, where obviously we always need to lean on God, to be clear. Mm-hmm. But there are times when our flesh gets the best of us, and our husbands, it's the same. At that moment, his fear got the best of him, and it was just like, I want this to be done. I don't want to deal with it, and I don't think we should keep the baby. And so I just prayed and continued to pray and just really felt like, okay, this is a moment where I need to give Nick the grace that he needs, and then I need to lean into God. And that's when I really started diving into the word deeper and truly growing my faith with God. And so I feel like once I started doing that, I felt Nick and I also get closer, because instead of me yelling at Nick and, you know, doing, you know, whatever, giving him the cold shoulder, I mm-hmm. saw him almost in the same way that God saw him. And it was like, he's also a child of God, and he's scared in this moment. I don't have all of the strength that Nick needs. I don't even have all the strength that I need, but I can lean into God and I can give Nick grace. And, you know, a while went by, and Nick, you know, we had a conversation about it, and he just, you know, apologized for that, you know, said that, you know, he was scared. But he also was just so appreciative of the way that I responded to it. And really, I was just like, I can't even take credit for it. That was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Wow. And like, to be so like newly married, and like, I feel like you're just getting to know your yeah. spouse in that time. And it's just, it really is a display of God's hand working in you and being mm-hmm. patient and the grace that you have. And that's just amazing. Ian's ministering mm-hmm. to me even too right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely hard. And like I said, I had never shared that with anyone before. It felt like, you know, when you get married, you got to keep it between you and your husband. But I just told Nick, you know, like, this is a powerful part of, I feel like, my birth story, my preparation story, but also my testimony as well.
Yeah. So when you were leaning into the Lord and you were diving into the word, like, mm-hmm. Were you led to any verses that you were praying for your family and Nick, and just over that season in your life?
Yeah. I would say 2 Timothy 1:7, which I feel like a lot of people share that, but, you know, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I felt God really leaning into each word, you know, power, meaning we have authority over our emotions. We have authority over our brains, authority over our bodies. That's something that God has given us to steward over. But love, and in love, I think of grace and, mm-hmm. you know, giving that grace to Nick, loving one another and not leaning into our fear, but leaning into love, because perfect love casts out fear, and God is love. But then lastly, a sound mind. And I know some translations say self-discipline. And I really feel like that part, God was really kind of just showing me that it takes discipline, and it's a continued practice to lean to not lean into fear, but to lean into faith. So that's really the powerful overarching verse. But also I would say, so that's one of them. And then Ephesians 6:10-13, where we're really cautioned to put on the full armor of God.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Cause it's a battle. And I feel like, you know, as a reminder, like, the enemy wants to like silence and say our prayers are pointless. It's not going to do anything, but there's so mm-hmm. much power of our prayers, and especially a praying wife or her husband, like, in your families, like, there is dunamis when it's done with the Spirit. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Just definitely taught me how Satan will really do his best to creep in. If there's any miscommunication or hurt that's there, he really will work to slither in. But by really putting on that full armor, you can stand firm on God's promises and on God's word versus the lies. And something that I learned during pregnancy with Giselle that I'm using this time around, which I don't think I mentioned. I did mention at the beginning, I'm pregnant again. But what I realized is really that, lost my train of thought. There goes the pregnancy brain. Hopefully all the mamas out there will give me a little bit of grace. But yes, yeah, so when Satan comes in with the lies, I'm able to tell that it's something from the enemy. If I can't go back in the word and validate it, that's how I know it's from the enemy. And if it's something that makes me feel fear versus making me feel peace, that's how I know it's from the enemy.
Yeah, that's a good word. So good. So I did have this question come up in my head when you were sharing about the timeline and before your pregnancy. How the Lord is prepping you for when you were expecting in April, like, how did you even find out about supernatural, like, childbirth? Like, did you hear about your friends or your family? Like, and how did you, like, to hear that you wanted to have a home birth right out the gate, you know, where research at or was it any circles?
Yeah, so one of my friends in the fall of 2021, she found out she was expecting and obviously shared. And she shared at that time that she was doing a home birth. And I had seen it kind of on social media. And I honestly think from that conversation, it was like all of a sudden different ads started like popping up on my phone. And then during my prayer time, that's when I felt the Lord put that urge on my heart of like, explore home birth a little bit deeper, you know. What does that mean? What does preparing for having children mean? So I definitely would say the idea, it came from my friend, learning that she was pregnant and kind of sharing a little bit of her journey, and then just being close with the Lord, growing with the Lord at that time. I felt like, this is not just an urge of coincidence. Like, you know, it just felt very, it felt like that's what I was supposed to be doing is looking into those things. And my friend and I were a part of kind of a like a group of friends, a larger group of friends who had gone through home births and things of that nature too. So I was definitely privy to it prior to, but I always kind of thought of it as something, oh, you know, only really like crunchy moms or moms who love like organic food, you know, like home birth. Like I never thought home birth would be something that's for me, but I will say my mother, she had unmedicated births in the hospital. So I always knew that, you know, when I have children, I want to go the unmedicated route. And then once my friend shared that she was pregnant and having a home birth, I was like, I need to explore that a little bit because I think that that could be for me.
And so same with supernatural childbirth too. Is that within the same circle that you found?
Yes. Yeah, definitely in the same circle. And when I started looking up more on home birth on Instagram, that's when I think in the Explore page or something like that, I came across a birth testimony from Supernatural Childbirth Mamas. And I was like, oh, okay, like that's a nice name for like, are these home births too, you know? And so I looked at that. And then that's when I ended up finding the Instagram channel that you guys have. And, I followed you guys, started learning a little bit about it, and then that's when I came across Jackie Mize's book, Supernatural Childbirth, as well, which is one of the resources that was just pivotal for me during pregnancy, as well as Pain-Free Childbirth by Nisa Andrews. So those two books are really where I started learning about what a supernatural childbirth was, but also God's vision or for childbirth and the fact that we are redeemed from the curse. And I came across, I think Galatians 3:13. Yeah, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
How did you feel reading that the first time?
You know what, if I'm being completely honest, I was like, what? This is unheard of. People are enjoying their birth, you know, experiences. 'Cause keep in mind, again, my mom had a unmedicated birth, and she shared, you know, that it was a pretty smooth process. So I had known before that there are such thing as like some women just have maybe an easier go with labor and delivery than others, but I really didn't understand it, if I'm being honest. I was like, yes, we are redeemed from the curse, and you know, Jesus, he did pay the price for our sins, but how does that connect to childbirth? And so it was all like my eyes, God was revealing to me this whole other aspect of childbirth that I feel like in society we almost are conditioned to not think that way. You know, the moment that we share that we're pregnant with someone, it's like, oh, well, you know, are you having the morning sickness? Oh, just, you know, just wait until they come, or just wait until labor and delivery. You know, don't you worry, you'll be asking for that epidural. And so I felt like we're conditioned to not think otherwise. So I felt like I had honestly a lot of unlearning to do when it came to childbirth.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it, unlearning.
Yes, for sure.
Not of this world, you know, when we're grafted into his family and, you know, our place is in a heavenly kingdom in heaven with him. You know, that's where our citizenship is.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, gosh.
So back to fast forward, you're pregnant and, you know, you're praying for Nick. How did your pregnancy go? And can you share about that?
Yeah, of course. I will say it was honestly a blessing. I still think back to it and I'm like, I can't really remember a time that I was in excruciating pain or discomfort. Now, I will say I had heartburn and I had more cosmetic things, you know, acne, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But in praying for Nick and in praying over my body, I would just say that overall my pregnancy was, I can't even categorize, excuse me, other than saying it was a transformative experience. I felt like we're always taught to prepare financially and prepare physically, your body, but also your physical space, you know, do the nesting and all of those things. But it was really a time that was marked by spiritual preparation and spiritual growth. That's really the best way that I can describe it from a personal standpoint, but also in terms of my marriage. It felt like we were obviously newly married, mm-hmm. but it brought us together in such a special way. And I feel like you hear it talked about, but you don't fully understand it until you're almost in it. It's something that, you know, you created this baby in conjunction with your husband and God, and it's just such a special, special experience. But I definitely would say my pregnancy was all about, you know, spiritual growth and spiritual preparation.
Yeah. Yeah. How was the Lord like talking to you? Like, what, I know he was saying, lean on him. And was there anything else the Lord was really guiding you in?
Yeah. I will say, at the same time, being newly married, going through that with Nick, and then also your body changing, I was also going through a little bit of a fallout with one of my friends where we just weren't as close anymore. And so it really felt like I was being stripped of everything. And that's when I actually learned about the story of in the book of Job, where essentially everything is kind of taken from him and he has to work through this, like, grieving process. And I felt like I felt this sense of guilt that I was excited about what was to come, but I was also kind of sad because I was like, whoa, my life is going to change forever. And I kept feeling the Lord say, you know, it's going to change for the better. It's going to change for the better. And so it just felt like I don't know. I can't even describe it. It's this feeling that's, I'm so sorry. It's hard to put into words. But I also felt God really just stressing the importance of getting into the word. And like I mentioned before, doing a lot of unlearning and removing yourself. I felt like God kind of isolated me during that time, but it made me think of Jesus. You know, he went into the wilderness, and oftentimes in the Bible, we see that, you know, characters, they go into the wilderness to get closer to God. And I kept learning about those different wilderness type of, you know, stories. And I actually read a book by John Bevere, I think, and it's called God, Where Are You? Mm. And it just helped me walk through, not that I felt like I was truly in a wilderness now that I think back on it, but it really felt like it because of that sense of isolation that I felt in terms of going through that with my husband, but then also kind of being a little bit more distanced from one of my best friends at the time.
Yeah. When I like hear about your season, what you're going through, I just kind of get the picture of, you know, you think about the seasons and the fall, you know, the leaves are
yeah,
and the winter comes and you're thinking like, what's going on? It's like, this is horrible. It's cold. And really is like, you have to have the winter before you can have the springing forth, you know, like at that harvest. There's a plan and a purpose for every season. And, you know, even like touching on that wilderness experience, like I heard somewhere recently, and I don't want to butcher it too much, but you'll have to, like, our listeners will have to go check it out. But it's with a rabbi with the Chosen. I can't think of his name, but he helps with the Chosen of that TV series. He was saying about, like, in Hebrew, like the wilderness meant like this certain word in Hebrew, and it, and like, almost like, I think it meant like in God's voice. And I quote it of the Hebrew, so we all have to go check it out. But when I heard that, I was like, whoa, like, we should be excited when we go through the wilderness instead.
Yeah.
But it went through my head, because I always think, like, no, I don't want to go through the wilderness again. Like, no, no, no. But like, it's like you said earlier, like, Jesus sought that out. Like, he sought time to spend with the Father. And that was his silence, everything else, and get quiet and like just receive his love and presence. Like, and that was where he went, you know?
Absolutely. And I love the word choice that you used, receive, because during that time, it was also a time of like surrender. Like, it's almost like he pulled me into this isolation and I had to just release control. Like, it's okay. Like, I'm not in control of my life. My life is not my own. It's my, you know, my body's not my own. It's mine to steward over. And so you saying receiving made me think about something that helped me to truly understand what Jesus did for us. You have to also be able to receive that gift and understand that there's nothing that you can do to make you deserve it. It's just a matter of surrendering to God and having that fear of the Lord, but also receiving the gift of salvation. So it's just, just you saying receive, just it hit me in a certain way. And I just wanted to share that. Sorry if I cut you off.
No, I love it. Excuse me. Sorry. I'm glad you brought that up, because like, it's a choice, you know, receiving is, you know, that's just the love of the Father. He's going to be a gentleman about it.
Yes.
On us, but he's so excited for when we say yes, like, I want to receive this gift that you have for me. So is there anything else that you want to touch on about your time of pregnancy, those 9 months?
No, I think if anything, I would just encourage listeners to put on the whole armor of God during your preparation for the baby coming and leading up to labor, because by knowing his word and knowing his truths, it's going to give you that confidence when you're going into labor and delivery. And not confidence from, you know, this is what I can do, but confidence of who he is, and understanding that once you get in the moment of labor and delivery, I think sometimes the enemy tries to slither in, but then you'll be able to say, well, no, God did not give me a spirit of fear, you know, but of power, love, and a sound mind, you know, and you're able to speak those verses out because you've put on that full armor. So I think that would be the only thing I would say about preparation.
Yeah, you touched that. And when you said that, it made me think of how we're also not just ourselves, but over our baby. And, you know, as we're diving deep into his word and we're speaking out, that our baby is receiving those words too. You know, we're just putting them up, you know, because they're fully spirit, you know, and even the world might challenge that they're not a spirit, you know, and a human, but no, they receive that. And it brought up the question, what was the Lord showing to you about your daughter while she was in your womb?
Oh man, that almost makes me feel emotional, but he was really showing me that she is an inheritance from the Lord, you know, like I am stewarding over her. Nick and I are partnering with God to raise her, and she's truly a blessing. And I don't think I mentioned this before, but we weren't planning at the time or anything like that. Obviously God had kind of mentally prepared me, but we were not planning for her at all. And so he really just kept speaking to me and sharing that, you know, she is an inheritance of the Lord. This is a blessing. This is a gift. But also that she is going to grow up looking to me and looking at me. And I felt like that's also part of the importance of getting into your word, is because for the mamas listening out there, you know, the baby that's inside of you is really going to be looking to you and looking to your spouse as guides here. Obviously, and it's up to us really to raise them up in the way that they should go. So during those 9 months, you're preparing for labor and delivery, but you're also preparing for raising them and for life. And I know it sounds silly saying that, it's like, duh, but for me, that was really something that he kept kind of drilling into my head. Like, this preparation that you're doing is laying the foundation for the rest of Giselle's life.
Yes. Amen. So for Giselle, can you, would you like to hop in on the story of that Saturday?
Yes. Yeah. So, my daughter was born on Sunday, December 18th. So on Saturday, I started feeling a little bit crampy. It was a normal day. I went to the gym. We went on what would be our last date, my husband and I. We spent quality time together. Sorry for my parents and his parents if they're listening to this, but we spent quality time together. And so I honestly attributed kind of almost a crampy feeling to all of those things. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm tired. So I took a nap. Woke up and just spent some time. I can't remember what lesson plan at the time that I was going through, but it was through the YouVersion Bible app. I spent some time doing that. My husband and I kind of sat back and watched some TV. And around the time of dinner, I just started feeling like, oh, these are weird. Like, I need to like kind of stay standing for these ones. And so at that time, my husband just shared with me, hey, you should probably let me know when you're feeling kind of these waves of cramps, you know, because I honestly had no clue that I was in labor, which was probably a blessing. But around 7:30, maybe 8 o'clock that night, my husband showed me his phone. He had the contraction kind of timer. And he said, hey, like, this says that you should be heading to the hospital right now. Obviously, I was having a home birth. And so I was like, no, I don't think so. So I was like, I'm going downstairs to eat. I think that this is a kind of a mistake, because I was convinced that my daughter was going to come on December 19th. Cause I had had a dream about it about a week before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was holding Giselle on December 19th, not realizing she could be born before December 19th for me to be holding her. So I was like, no, like, she's coming on Monday. Like, I already know it. God told me we're good to go. And as I'm eating, I messaged my doula and my midwife, and they worked with each other a lot. So they actually were texting each other on the side, like, yeah, she's definitely in labor at this point. So around 9:30, my doula arrived, and things kind of picked up pretty quickly from there. When she first arrived, I was able to talk. We prayed kind of over everything. And I mentioned, you know, I'm feeling weird kind of discomfort in my back. Because at no point did I feel any sharp shooting pain. It just kind of felt like a dull, maybe like period cramp or something. Mm-hmm. And so she prayed over me again, and we decided to do some like inversions. And I could literally feel Giselle turning and getting in the right position during it. It was just the most... I mean, the whole experience was just incredible. And I felt the Lord just say, you know, relax. This entire time we have worship music playing, and I'm feeling pretty good. A little bit of nerves. So there's actually a prayer in Jackie Mize's book, All on Fear. So I start praying that out loud. And my mom at that point prayed it as well. And we just kind of settled in, and I got into a groove. And around maybe 11 o'clock, 11:30, my midwife arrived. And at midnight, the pushing phase, and I'm doing air quotes, I know that you guys can't see me, but I really didn't push too much. I just could feel Giselle kind of coming down. And I actually had my husband, while I was in transition, he started playing Same God by Elevation Worship. And that song, I mean, I don't even know how it ended up happening, but it just kept playing on repeat over and over and over again. And it was exactly what I needed. I was able to focus on the lyrics. I was able to remember all of the stories that are kind of touched on a little bit through the lyrics of that song. And I remember my midwife saying, one more and baby's coming out, or baby's head is coming out. And I remember thinking, like, what do you mean? I'm confused. I have to still get down the hallway to the birthing pool. Like, I'm confused. And she just mentioned, the baby's gonna come right here. And I just remember just having some tears streak down my face, and that just thanking God, like, well, this is amazing. And I didn't mention this part, but I never had a cervical check or anything like that. I felt like, my body is going to do what it needs to do when it needs to happen. And then finally I ended up like saying, hey, come on, you can do a cervical check. And my water actually broke, and they could see my daughter's hair in my bag of waters that was kind of like hanging out at that point.
Wow.
And it just was this out-of-body experience. It felt like I was across the room watching everything happen. And the power of just having a doula and a midwife that also share my faith, I could just feel God's presence in the room. And a few more kind of surges went by, and my daughter was here at 105. She was born, and I remember her being handed to me, and I just cried and just thanked God. And I just felt like, not because of anything again that I did, but it was just like, I remember saying, like, I did it, I did it. And now that I think back, it's like there's nothing that I could have done. Obviously we have free will. You prepare yourself spiritually, physically, you treat your body well during that time, but it was truly a supernatural experience, because while in transition, I remember there was no one in the bathroom with me other than my midwife. My midwife was next to me, but I felt this like pressure on both of my hips, and it just felt like, and it was a pressure that was relieving. And I just remember thinking back, and it's like, wow, that nobody was standing there. My husband had gone back down the hallway to grab his phone to start playing Same God. And that was the one moment that I felt like there was another little bit of fear that kind of creeped in a little bit. And it felt like God's hands were right there, like, I've got you. It's okay. And it just, I never felt like that could happen for me after hearing birth story after birth story. I was like, oh man, I feel like a lot of these moms are, second time moms or third time moms, or their labor and delivery story was redemptive because they didn't have the best experience the first or second time. And it just reminded me that, like, God is faithful in all instances, and he's just so good, and his faithfulness isn't determined on our faithfulness. And the spiritual preparation that I did, I think sometimes on the outside it may look like, oh well, it's because she did that because of that the birth ended up being how it was. And I truly feel that that just gave me the confidence going into labor and delivery. Again, not because of me and myself, but because of who he is. And I was able to combat when the enemy tried to sneak in, and disrupt that peace. I was able to stand firm on his word. So I know that was like a long-winded story, but felt kind of led to share it in that way.
Oh, I'm so glad you did. I was almost in tears just whenever you shared what you experienced in the bathroom. To me, it's just like I just see Jesus like giving you hip squeezes,
Yes.
as a doula would or a husband would, of what a mother needs. Like it's like there's something so powerful about touch.
Yes.
I don't know what, but it there's something, and it's needed. And I just like it's just such a beautiful picture of the. I just love it. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Yes, of course, of course.
So, during labor and delivery, how is Nick feeling during that time?
We had done some birth classes, and he had, seen everything, but he honestly was such a solid rock for me. He at points was getting me water, getting me snacks, holding my, you know, stomach up, giving me some, because it really just felt like a lot of pressure. Was relieving that pressure by picking that up, making sure that the worship music was staying on repeat. At there at the beginning, making sure that the Christian hypnobirthing was staying on the track that I really like. But also, he's the one that put it together that I was in labor, which is wild. And he was coordinating with the midwife and the doula, making sure that they had everything that they needed, but while also staying close to me. So he did have a moment when my water broke, because it kind of splattered kind of all over the wall on my midwife's face. And he had a little moment where he had to sit down and collect himself, but he got right back into it. So, I mean, he just did amazing, humming the worship songs with me, holding up, like I mentioned, that Jackie Mize fear prayer that I spoke out, making sure that it was there where I could see it, so that I could speak it out. But he gave me the space that I needed, because ultimately, for a lot of my labor and delivery, I was very turned inward. I was very quiet and just really allowing the worship music to soak in and to saturate. And if I needed something, I would kind of speak out loud, but he didn't. After the fact, he told me he was a little bit nervous throughout, but I never felt that at all. I felt nothing but comfort. So it was awesome. It brought us so much closer together, and I can't wait for our second child to be born and for us to experience it all over again.
Aww. Love that. So I don't know if you touched base earlier in the podcast. When did Nick go from like really nervous whenever you guys found out you were pregnant to like, okay, like, yes, I'm excited, I'm ready to be supportive and like, let's receive this child?
Yeah, I would say it took him to be fully kind of like accepting of it. It took him until about month 5, but I will say in the middle of May, because I found out mid-April, April 14th, middle of May is when he really was like, okay, this is happening. And he kind of almost went into prepare and nesting mode, like early, like several months early. But then we also post that conversation where he mentioned, you know, he doesn't know we should share with our dads. He didn't know, you know, that fear was kind of talking. We started also consistently going to church in person. We had recently been attending church online. And I think that also made all of the difference too, is just being around people, even though we were new to the church, being in his presence every Sunday, I think really was helpful. But I would say month 5 until that fear, I could really see that it was gone. And I think you always have some nerves. So he still definitely had nerves, but like that true like fear, I think over the summer is when that kind of went away, when he felt like, okay, this is ready. And he kind of had mentioned, he felt like, you know, he was not ready. And he felt like all of this weight to raise a child. And then when he found out it was a girl, it was like all of this weight to be the example of a man in her life, that was hard too.
Yeah. Wow. What a picture.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. And it's so cool, like how he was there for you and support and husband. The Lord made a husband for a reason, you know, and a wife for a reason.
Yes, absolutely. We definitely balanced each other out for sure. Cause I had my moments too, where I kind of felt that fear creep in of, whether it was kind of like the labor and delivery or if it was kind of life beyond. And it's like you said, it's really cool that God made two, you know, a husband and a wife, because in moments where I had that fear, he was able to step in and he was able to provide that reassurance. Obviously prayer too, and God being there, but there's nothing like kind of you're looking to your husband and he's like, no, we've got this. Like it's okay. And he's providing that assurance. And that's something that he's always been really good at doing for me.
Yeah. Awesome. So I would say, like, would your midwife say, and your doula, would they like, when they talk about your birth, would they say that you had a really quick birth?
Yes, they do say it was fairly quick and it was just a smooth, process. And it's actually funny you mentioned that, because my sister, she had a dream that prior to my birth, that Giselle would be born on December 18th in the middle of the night, which was true, that the birth would be so smooth and so quick that my midwife wouldn't make it on time. That part of it, she did make it on time. But that they would be in awe of the birth, but also that it would be completely pain-free and that Giselle would just be completely healthy. And all of those things came true except for my midwife not getting there in time. And actually, my midwife was delivering my baby while another one of her clients was going through a super fast delivery, and my midwife didn't make it to that birth on time. So it was just so cool hearing that come to light, and you asking that question about the doula and midwife. We talk about that often. When I meet with them, they talk about that, and it's so cool that they're able to understand, like, yes, I prepared, but it was truly, it was God's hand at work with it. So it's really cool that they also have that same faith that I do, that same belief system, that we're able to talk about it in that way.
Oh yeah, for sure. I had with my last one, like, this is the first time I had a midwife of the same faith, you know, and it just did wonders in that atmosphere. Like, anytime she would just be singing to the Lord, like, Lord, thank you for being here anytime. And just like,
oh yeah,
ushered in that worship and praise. Like, it makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
I love that. So what is, I'm one for names. I love the meaning of names and the backstory of names. So how did Giselle get her name?
Yeah, so Giselle's middle name, I'll start there, is Yvette, which is the same as my middle name. And so for generations, I think that Giselle, I should have fact-checked this before, but I think she's either the fifth or the sixth generation of having Yvette in her middle name. So really just felt really strongly about her having some element of that. My parents had two girls, so our maiden last name kind of ends with us when we get married. But her first name, I will say, I always wanted kind of a French name. My mom is fluent in French, and so I love the name Giselle, and I'm a big daddy's girl, have always been, and so my dad's name is Roselle. And so we spelled her name G-I-Z-E-L-L-E, and it's kind of a play on his name. So it's kind of a tribute to him, because there were no boys, you know, but now obviously I'm having a boy, so that'll be fun also. But that's kind of the meaning of her name. And yeah, the names that have a lot of meaning, I feel like always they get carried into generation after generation. Mm-hmm. So hopefully Giselle can appreciate her middle name, but also her first name, knowing that she's kind of named after her grandfather in a way. Obviously, we couldn't name her Roselle, but I did my best to get something close. And Nick and I both went in separate directions and found a list of names. And Giselle was the only name that was on both of our lists. And that's how we knew.
Yeah.
Giselle is the name.
That's so beautiful. I love that. So can you tell us about postpartum, how that went for you?
Yeah, so postpartum, I think the first 2 weeks were pretty smooth. And, you know, the recovery from a physical standpoint, I felt like I had a lot of help, but I felt like I reached week three and I still had the help, but I think self-doubt, honestly, creeped in a little bit. And so I felt like I wasn't prioritizing being in God's word. And so that self-doubt kind of overcame me. So mentally, I struggled a little bit postpartum, mentally and emotionally. But the moment that I started kind of prioritizing getting back into the word, it is when I began to feel, better and better. But I will say something, that this time around, I'm definitely preparing for postpartum in the same way that I'm preparing for labor and delivery, because I had some prayers, you know, I prayed about, you know, having enough breast milk for Giselle and those sort of things, but I never really prayed about my mind and having kind of that mental toughness, if you will, and praying out against mom guilt or self-doubt, those sort of things. And I felt so prepared for labor and delivery that I think I did allow postpartum to fall to the wayside. But I'm blessed that I had a lot of help. So physically it was pretty smooth, and it was more of an emotional thing, which I feel like is a common thing that a lot of women go through. But I've seen some friends go through postpartum, and maybe even though they may struggle a little bit physically, spiritually and emotionally, they feel great because they do prioritize that time. And it's going to look different. You know, you may not have 30, 45 minutes to spend in prayer and to spend in a devotional, but even just not scrolling as much on social media would have been better for me. Like doing, you know, Bible plans and things of that nature.
Yeah,
would have probably been better.
I'm so glad you touched on that, like how it's going to look different in that season. And like postpartum, like I've just been reminded of with the Lord, like how like you're spending that time of pregnancy, like you're creating it like with him, like, and then that baby's being formed. And, you know, on the seventh day he rested. And I kind of see the postpartum as the seventh day. It's just like it's tight.
Yeah.
Resting in, and it's not going to look the same. It's going to be
different. Absolutely.
But you know, I think it's really easy for women to beat ourselves up, you know, like of not getting the word, like we did, like what you said, like a 30 to 40 minutes in our time. But like, what he's been teaching me in my postpartums recently is just your baby, or as you're changing a diaper, like, I like, you can still spend time with me in the midst. Like, it just because you're not,
absolutely
doesn't mean I'm upset with you or any of that. Like, we can spend that time together. And thank goodness for audio Bible too.
Yes. Yes.
That was a lifesaver for me.
Absolutely. And now, like, YouTube, you know, has sermons or a resource that I really tapped into, during postpartum, not as much during pregnancy, is Better Together. I think it's through the Bible Network.
Yeah.
But that on YouTube, just like listening to different stories. And I love what you said about, you know, there are still little ways, like when you're changing your diaper, like oftentimes your mind are changing, not your diaper, but changing, well, you may have a diaper postpartum, but changing the baby's diaper. I felt like my mind would race about all of the different things that maybe I couldn't get to or didn't get to, but just taking a moment and just saying, you know, God, thank you for the opportunity to be able to, you know, change my baby's diaper here at the house. You know, my baby is safe and healthy and is growing, is gaining weight. And they're passing the breast milk through, obviously, because, you know, they're pooping. Just being able to take those moments throughout the day. And even though it doesn't look like what it did during pregnancy or before you had kids, still just being intentional. So I appreciate you sharing that. That's something that this time around I'm praying over myself, is to just be more intentional with those moments where I can pray. It doesn't have to look like a full-blown devotional, but it can be just listening to a sermon, listening to a faith-filled, you know, podcast or something like that. That's something I'm definitely focusing on this time around.
And like you said too, like that gratitude, like it changes something, like not just during pregnancy or labor, but even in postpartum, like gratitude just draws our heart so much closer to him. So do you, since you're pregnant, and we don't normally do this since we don't talk to too many people while they're pregnant. Would you want to touch anything that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I would say this time around, I actually had a moment where I honestly just broke down crying. I was so overwhelmed. I had a little bit of a moment with Giselle, but this time, and something that God said to me clear as day, and I'm like, this is so true. I just was praying to him and crying, like, how am I going to take care of two kids and work and be a wife and take care of the house, you know, all of these things. And I just felt God say to me, you know, that, I don't have to be ready right now, but I have to prepare right now. And I just thought that that was so powerful for me, because I was almost, and I can't remember the verse, but it's when Jesus is saying, you know, putting on Putting on things and taking on things that aren't your role or aren't your job to do so, or maybe you're out of season to be doing so. I was out of season to be thinking about how I'm going to take Giselle here and there, take our son, I'm pregnant with a boy, do all of these things. And I just really felt him say, right now is your time for preparation. And so I would definitely encourage other moms, if you're pregnant and listening, that it's okay if you don't feel ready right now, right this second. But through God, you can lean on God for one, obviously. But this is your time to prepare. And as I mentioned before, a society pushes you to, prepare financially, prepare every other way outside of preparing spiritually. Or at least in my life, I didn't come across too many people that encouraged me to prepare spiritually. And so I want to encourage all of the moms out there to do that, because it makes such a difference being able to walk into motherhood, but also walk into labor and delivery, having that spiritual preparation. And also, it's okay for you to mourn a little bit and grieve the life that you did have. I think for me, I felt a lot of guilt of feeling nervous and kind of almost sad in a way too, because Giselle, I'm like, man, she's got to grow up fast now. She's 15 months. That's my baby. And I felt this guilt because I know that other women, they may struggle to have children, or they may, unfortunately, the Lord may pull those babies back. They may miscarry. So, I think that it's okay. Allow yourself to feel how you're going to feel, but walk through it and work through it with God, but also with women that you know that you can trust, and women that are going to point you back to God versus pointing you back to your emotions, because our emotions are fleeting, and we're cautioned in the Bible, and to lean not on our own understanding, but really to lean on God. And God is always doing a new thing in us. I think that's from Isaiah, but that's something that God also shared with me. So just prepare now. And it's okay to feel how you feel. You just have to work through it.
Yeah, just bring it to the Father. And yeah, like he this every child's a blessing, and like he has no sorrow with it. So like there's a plan and a purpose for this, like every child, and may not see why the timing, but like just know he's with you.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Absolutely.
So before we close for today, is there any advice that I know we touched base about preparing? Is there anything else that you would like to add and that you would like to share with our listeners that you would like to pass on?
Yeah, I would say that I know that I've kind of stressed about like preparing spiritually, but I definitely don't want to disregard the fact that there is a physical preparation as well that goes into it. And preparing your body is just as it's just as important as preparing spiritually. But also surround yourself with positive influences. And if you are believing for a supernatural childbirth, understand that it's okay. Some people may not understand it. I actually remember I was sitting at a family member's house, and I was sharing about wanting it and believing for a supernatural birth, a home birth, and a birth that I would be able to look back on and say, wow, like I enjoyed that. It was something that I can't wait to talk to my daughter about. And I remember kind of being laughed at a little bit, obviously not in a horrible way, but kind of like, oh, you're really thinking you're gonna enjoy it. And what it made me realize is that I had to kind of keep what I was really believing for between the Father and I, between the Lord and I, and that there was this kind of this almost incubation period where I was developing more of my belief system. And I felt like that conversation gave me a little bit of self-doubt, but being able to go back to the word and say, okay, well, no, I am redeemed from the curse, and here's why, or here's where in the word it says that. So definitely prepare physically. There's a spiritual preparation element, physical, but also there's a relational as well. And just understand that there some people may not understand it, and that's okay. And it may not be for them to understand. Maybe a supernatural childbirth is something that you feel like the Lord put on your heart, and that's okay to keep it between you and God.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't have to throw your pearls before the swine kind of thing.
Yes, absolutely. I definitely was one to just like share, like, oh my gosh, like, I can't even believe that I didn't know about this. You know, this is 100% what I'm believing for. And some people might just look at you like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I've had 3 kids before. Trust me, it's not like that. When really it can be for everyone. It's something that is available for everyone.
Yeah. And imagine too, like, you know, even if we do share, you know, like, of what, like, the Lord can do on their hearts, like, of how the Lord can speak to them, like, what? Okay, let me go, like, they might go back to their Bible. Where does it say this? And then just, like, the Lord may minister. We just like, may not even know about it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. 100%.
So last thing, is there's anyone that have your story really resonated with them and they would like to reach out, what would be the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, I would definitely say on Instagram, my at name is Carrington Gray, Karrington Gray, Gray. But also on Facebook, my name's Carrington Winters Gray. I would love to connect. I know I mentioned before that I just strengthened my faith through some of the testimonies on Supernatural Childbirth Mama. So definitely don't hesitate to reach out.
Yeah. And y'all be alert, be attentive. She'll be coming out with a blog soon. So
yes. So exciting.
So for closing, Carrington, would you mind praying over all of us ladies, us listeners?
Yes, absolutely. So God, I just want to say thank you for this time. Thank you for the resource that is Supernatural Childbirth Mamas. God, I know that we've heard redemptive story after redemptive story and testimony after testimony. And I just want to say thank you for allowing all of these testimonies to be collected into one space as they strengthen the faith of all of the women that are listening to this call. And God, I just ask that every voice every ear that's under my voice right now, I just encourage you to meet them where they are, God. I know that there may be some women who are pregnant, some who maybe have just miscarried, some who may be wanting to be pregnant, and they're just at this point of learning, God. I just ask that you meet them where they are. You help them to surrender to who you are and receive the gift that came from the cross with Jesus, God. I just ask that you give them the strength, discipline, and courage to get through whatever it is that they're walking through in this season of their life, God. And just for them to put on the full armor of God that they may stand against the lies of the enemy. And just remind them as they go through this season that you have not given them a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And again, God, we just say thank you for this time. Thank you for all the ladies that are listening here, but also thank you for Katie and Supernatural Childbirth Mamas. It's in your son Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yes, and amen. Thank you so much, Carrington. And we'll be praying for you. And
thank your baby you.
Boy, and as along with praying with for all you listeners that are pregnant right now. And we're just so thankful that you were able to share your story and really praying that will just encourage all of you.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thanks, Carrington. Bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's it for today, mamas. If this episode blessed you and you'd like to help support and spread the love, please subscribe and leave a rating and review. To stay up to date with Supernatural Childbirth Mamas and to get all that behind-the-scenes content, you can follow us on Instagram at Supernatural Childbirth Mamas or on Facebook. Until next time, keep your eyes on Him, and we can't wait to see you on the next episode.